You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Monday, September 12th. We're talking Cubs baseball once again with our Cubs reporter, Carrie Muscat. Carrie, we thank you as always for the time. You're quite busy, of course, so we will do as much as we can in the time that we have allotted today. The Cubs, of course, beginning the final third of their nine-game road trip on this Monday night in St. Louis, and thus far 3-3 on the trip. And, of course, as every Cubs fan knows right now, the magic number is 5. And they can mathematically clinch that division if they sweep St. Louis. Of course, with the three games, that would be a 6 in that magic number column, which would put them over the top. So in your estimation, how meaningful would it be not just for the Cubs to win this division for the first time since 2008, but to do so in the backyard of their most bitter rival?
It'd probably be pretty sweet. I know that the Cubs got a lot of enjoyment in beating the Cardinals last year in the National League Division Series. The Cardinals, though, are the one team that has a winning record against the Cubs so far in the regular season. So it's not something that's going to be easy and not something that they can just roll over and just think that this, they're playing, you know, little sisters of the poor here. But Cardinals have a really tough week ahead. Not once they face the Cubs, then they go out to San Francisco and they're fighting for their playoff lives. So this should be a very interesting series.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Cardinals, as of this discussion right now, on the outside looking in for a playoff spot. So, you know, they're motivated. You know, the last thing that they want is to see the Cubs celebrate the division crown, which has been theirs for three straight years running. It should be a fascinating series the next three nights at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Kerry, backtracking now to Sunday's rubber game win against the Astros in Houston. The offense had been in a bit of a funk, just 4 runs in their previous 3 games combined, but they break out in a big way Sunday for 9 runs, race out to a 9-0 lead, win it 9-5. And I really like how Joe Maddon has something of a hockey mentality, if you will, when it comes to offense, because he always stresses the importance of scoring first. That's something the Cubs did yesterday, something that they had not done in 4 of their previous 5 losses. Just 2 batters into the game, Chris Bryant, RBI, double, boom, 1-0. They're off and running. Did you get a sense just in watching that game that they played a little more relaxed, a little more loose after taking that early 1-0 lead?
Well, I think, I don't have the notes in front of me, but I think if you looked at the runs scored in the first inning, it's pretty lopsided for the Cubs this season. I mean, they've really more than doubled up, almost tripled up opponents in terms of the runs that they've scored versus runs allowed. I did look, though, before we came on, at their batting average in the second half, it's the month of September, but they are, in the month of September, I think they're last in the National League in batting average. And something I found really interesting listening to the broadcast on Saturday was John Smoltz's analysis, where he was saying that if a pitcher can get the Cubs to get out of their comfort zone and be swinging at pitches out of the strike zone, they seem to be very vulnerable. Now, obviously, that seems very basic and makes a lot of sense, but the fact that the Cubs bought it, you know, were victimized by that Friday, Saturday against the Astros, and then Sunday it seemed like they were much more patient at the plate, and I think they have to get. Whenever they have problems offensively, they need to somebody needs to just like boink them on the head and say, hey, we need to return back to what made us successful, which is patient at the plate, wait for your pitch. And it seems to seem to get back on track.
Yeah, it's amazing for all the numbers and sabermetrics in this game, which are wonderful. It always boils down to basics, you know, get a good pitch to hit. Don't swing at junk, and you'll be successful. And so much more often than not, that's really what it boils down to. You mentioned the staggering stat about the Cubs being dead last in batting average in the second half. Is that something you had an inkling of, or when you looked that up, did that just knock your socks off?
I think it's just the month of September, the second half. It's just the month of September.
Okay.
But even so, it did not surprise me, because it seems like they did struggle a little bit against the Brewers. They struggled against the Astros, and it's, you know, the Astros are a contending team in the American League West. You know, it's not as if there are any slouches over there, but it's just a matter of, like I say, sometimes they just sort of get out of what they should be doing, and I'm not sure who is able to get them back on track. You know, whether it's Eric Kinski, the assistant batting coach, he's kind of loud. He sort of goes around and starts getting guys pumped up. David Ross goes after him a little bit, gets them pumped up. So it could just be, hey, let's get back to what we were supposed to do, and then boom, everything is fine.
Everything was fine on Sunday as they race out to a 9-0 lead and win at 9-5. One of the games over the weekend in Houston where the offense was not clicking, but they got away with it, was thanks to John Lester. He's just been so relentlessly consistent this year, Kerry. That's no surprise. He's now gone, I believe, 11 straight starts without a loss to tie a career high. On the year, 16-4, a 2.51 ERA. So in watching John Lester and assessing him, give me an argument that, you know, is pro John Lester for the Cy Young Award, and maybe give an argument against John Lester winning the Cy Young.
Maybe the only thing against him would be Kyle Hendricks, which is his teammate. And the only thing against Kyle Hendricks might be that he doesn't have the innings. Kyle is leading the majors in leading the National League in ERA. I think he's leading the majors in ERA. But Kyle doesn't quite have the same number of innings against Lester compared to Lester. And it's that might be one thing that people look at. Lester, I know, has more strikeouts. John Lester looks like John Lester is supposed to look like. And that's a very good thing for the Cubs going into the postseason. I think giving the starters a little extra breather, giving them an extra day of rest has really helped. Arrieta will get an extra day, and that's going to help. He's like 4-0 when he gets 6 days of rest as opposed to the normal 5 days rest, and his ERA is much lower. So I think Joe Maddon's little mad scientist ways of giving guys a break and giving guys a breather has really paid off.
Yeah, it sure has. Lester's start on Friday was his first one in 7 days. We saw the results of that. The six-man rotation, at least so far, is working wonders for this Cubs team. Kerry, to wrap things up here, we're going to have an answer to this question at this, you know, by this time next week, I would think. But for now, let's kind of look into the future, gaze into the crystal ball. When the Cubs do celebrate that first division crown in 8 years, do you picture a wild, raucous celebration in the clubhouse, or considering expectations for this team, something a bit more subdued? What do you think?
Well, considering that they celebrate every win, I'm not quite sure that they would go any more over the top. I mean, these guys, you know, have a celebration room at Wrigley Field, so they have a place where they party after each W. That's become commonplace. They've done it 90 times, so it's just. I don't expect anything too crazy because I do believe that all these guys have a bigger goal in mind. This is winning the division is really important to this team because they know how hard it was last year as the wild card team. It was, you know, do or die game against the Pirates. Then you've got to go in and face the team with the best record, which was the Cardinals, and they beat them. And then you've got to deal with the Mets, and they were gassed. So I think winning the division is really important because they don't have to deal with that do or die, you know, wild card game, which is dramatic as it is. It's just very stressful, and it sort of changes things. I think that they're going to be very happy with the division win, but I think also, okay, let's drink the champagne, let's have some fun, and then let's get ready for the next step.
Yeah, I think they'll kind of toe the line, like you said. They'll be happy for the achievement, as they should be, but then again, it's just one very small piece of a larger jigsaw puzzle, which would hopefully lead to a World Series title in the Windy City for the first time in, well, quite a while. Kerry Muscat, it's our pleasure as always. We'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.